Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 8:04 on the clock. Have your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa K.
Good morning.
Our head of production and co-host, Seth Habhager.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope your week is starting off good. We're going to make sure to take good care of you and get you an update on the forecast with our good friend, Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Britt.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing over there?
Good. My vibe right now is like, what's the Garth Brooks song? Thunder rolls.
Ooh.
Boom. Boom.
Yes. That's a good one. That's nice. Nicely. Well done. Well done.
I'm not a singer by any means, but you know.
You would be both. You're welcome to join my air band. I've got an air band, Penguins and Planes. We play a lot of air instruments.
Yep,
we're one
good.
Of the top air bands in the world, if I'm being honest. Trying to be humble about this. But you're welcome to join. Okay, you are in. You are in. All you got to do is want to be in the band, and you're in. We've got
a big band. Really big, yeah.
Yeah, it's really getting out of hand, actually. The rehearsal process is difficult. We're already off the rails. Brenda, you have a job to do. I'm sorry. I'll get out of your way.
It's okay. Mother Nature is playing percussion today.
Nice. There we go.
She has joined the band, and she's not leaving.
The ultimate air band. That was good, Melissa.
That was good, yep.
Oh, gosh, yes. So we've just got some storms headed our way right now. Of course, we could see some 35-mile-per-hour winds with this one, and some pea-sized hail might fall. So we're going to see waves of storms and showers on and off throughout the entire day. We could get a little break late this afternoon before more start to fire up. And I think the ones later in the afternoon have the potential to be stronger, to maybe severe. Ooh. I think a big chunk, though, would be some heavy downpours. The system has put down at 1 to 2 inches in portions of northwest Wisconsin. So if we get under enough storms, we could be up there with some localized flooding potential. But otherwise, we're just looking at hail and strong winds for some of these strong storms. I think the tornado risk is going to stay much further south in the state, so you shouldn't have to worry about that. But it doesn't hurt to, of course, stay weather savvy. But this is going to be a wet one today and tomorrow. We'll get a little break in the morning, but then some more strong to severe storms do want to push in tomorrow night. But then Mother Nature takes a break. She leaves the band for a little bit, and we're going to see some sunshine and cooler temperatures.
Excellent. Good. You're the best, Brittany. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for it. We'll get people ready for the forecast tomorrow.
Sounds good. Stay safe. Have a good one.
You too.
You too.
Have a great
Bye,
one.
Bye, Brittany.
The best. The best in the business right there. We appreciate Brittany joining us. She does every morning right in this time slot. We got fun things lined up for you this morning, everybody. We've got a jam-packed show for you. We'll get into the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club in a little bit. Before the end of the hour, I've got four things to look forward to in June. We're going to get into that as we go over sports, TV, new in theaters, and, of course, the holidays. We'll get into all of that. 9 o'clock hour, going to kick off the way you know it's supposed to on a Monday with the kitchens open.
That's right.
The award-winning kitchens open.
The award-winning kitchens open.
Again.
Looking forward to that. Melissa's got a great one for us lined up today. Be sure to join us for that. Afterwards, we're going to get a monthly veterans update from our good friend Tom Heiser.
Very cool. Mm. Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Always
said the list is shorter this month, but it's still a long list.
It's still good stuff.
A good list, too. And looking forward to that as we are every time Tom's able to join us. We'll talk Rafters baseball as well. Victorious night for the Rafters yesterday. Afternoon, I should say. A great Sunday game for them. But I want to catch up with you all. How was your weekend? Melissa, how was your weekend?
Weekend.
Yeah.
Sorry. Everything is kind of running together right now.
How bad.
They're so busy. But yeah, the weekend was all right. I don't know what I did.
No.
It's a blur.
Look, I was thinking the same thing as I asked you guys. I'm like, oh, this ain't a fair thing to ask them. I hope they don't ask me. I literally was thinking in my head, God, I hope they don't ask me what I did.
Well, it was a bit of a rush here this morning because it was thundering so much when I was trying to record my news that it delayed me. So the last 20 minutes here have been kind of
jam-packed. Get the news out.
Yeah.
Wow.
So if you hear a little rumbling or maybe some rain pitter-pattering in the background on the newscast, that's why.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, Mother Nature.
I think that's kind of cool, actually. I like
she's got her own sound effects.
For the news today.
We appreciate that hustle, that work, Melissa. Really do. And again, great line before Ultimate Airbat. That was good. That was really good. We're just starting the week off, and she already nailed that. That was good. Seth, how was your weekend?
It was, unlike you guys, it was fun.
Yeah.
I had a great weekend. Yeah. I went down to see my one of my nephews graduate down in the southern part of the state, Lake Mills area down there, Jefferson County. And Friday night, my family went to the Brewers game. Got to see them, sadly, pound the daylights out of the White Sox.
Yeah. Are they as bad in person as they are on paper?
You know,
paper?
For is like it... 4 or 5 innings, they were actually doing pretty good.
I mean, Fetty was all right, right?
Yeah,
was,
and then it just fell apart. Yeah. Their bullpen is just, it's scary.
Might as well have me pitching in that bullpen.
But anyway, it was fun. Great to go to the game there. And then, of course, the rest of the weekend was with graduation festivities. Saturday morning is actually when my nephew Henry had his party.
Cool.
And one of the great things, one of the absolutely wonderful things about this is we walk into the party and I see my brother-in-law. Mm. See, my nephew is going to the University of Minnesota in the fall.
Oh, boy.
And my brother-in-law is wearing a Golden Gophers t-shirt. And I was like, boy, I never thought that would happen. And he's like, yeah, it burns a little.
I can actually relate to that. I can. My son going to Minnesota.
Yeah.
I did the same thing to me. That's hilarious.
Was great. I mean, he has dyed-in-the-wool Wisconsin everything. Yeah. And to see him wearing that was like, oh, yeah, that's good. I love it.
That's one of the things your kids, that is the power of children.
The only thing that's going to make you change your sports affiliation.
Exactly. Literally. It's kids.
Not even a significant other will do that. Like, there are tons of relationships where this person likes this team, this person likes that team, but your kid goes to anywhere, and you are definitely getting what do they got in the store? They got a jersey? You're so right about this.
He did rationalize a little bit. He's like, well, at least it wasn't Michigan or Ohio State, you know. So no, there's that. But
when my son told me, Dad, I got to tell you, I got accepted. Oh, that's awesome. Awesome. Where? Well, hang on. Where'd you get excited, man? In Minnesota. And his mother went to UW. And everything.
Right.
So and I you know, me. Yep. So
School Hard Knocks.
Thank you, Seth. That was good. So when he told me that he was going to Minnesota, the first thing I thought was thing I thought was how happy
that's
and proud
awesome,
I
right?
was.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. James Maloff hadn't really been accepted to a university. He's the first one out of the five of us.
So
too.
Cool.
So that was really cool. My second thought was it wasn't Ohio State.
Yeah.
It was not that. I'm not even going to kid about that. It was not.
At least it wasn't Ohio State.
Great weekend by everybody, and a fun one for you, Seth. A busy one for some of us, but I don't know if any of us had a more interesting weekend than our friends over in Scotland.
Hmm?
Yes, we're going way across the pond for this opening story in our first segment of the week. The Loch Ness Monster is in the news after the largest hunt ever happened this weekend.
Oh, jeez.
And they didn't find much.
spoiler alert.
People from all over the world traveled to Scotland for it. The teams of volunteers spread out across the lake. The idea was to have as many eyes as possible watching every inch all at once. I love the idea of them planning this out. And this is a masterful plan. They have finally figured out how to catch the Loch Ness Monster. It's just this. We just need more people.
Just more people to look.
People. Yeah.
Eyeballs, yeah.
And what they ended up finding was nothing. Zero Nessie sightings. Probably because the Loch Ness Monster more than likely doesn't exist.
It's shy. It's just shy.
It
that's
is
it's
shy.
Too many people.
Is,
yeah.
Yes. Evidence has always been, eclectic at the very least.
Nice.
And the guy who
good way of putting it.
Took the famous black and white photo from 1934 that we've all seen eventually admitted that he even thought that was a hoax. He attached a fake head to a submarine toy.
Oh, man.
To make the picture and everything. This famous picture we've all seen and, a door and all that. I don't know about a door, but we've all seen
it. Yeah, we've all seen
Experts
it.
Say sightings have probably been driftwood, other animals like sturgeon, catfish, and others, or possibly a whale's, other things, just parts of the body or whatever. Some people still believe in Nessie, though. It's a huge tourist draw, so no one in Scotland is complaining, and the legend persists. A 53-year-old woman from Florida was there for the hunt this weekend and said, quote, "It doesn't matter that we didn't see anything. That just keeps the mystery alive."
Oh, they're in on it. I see. Okay.
And I have to say, a gigantic credit to this legend, because it's one of those things where it only gets bigger the longer we go without seeing it.
It only gets
more and more like any evidence, quote unquote, evidence of this monster or whatever doesn't matter. Obviously, there's supposedly, and I'm using the word evidence very loosely in this conversation, obviously, but there is more evidence of a Sasquatch than there is of Loch Ness Monster. But which one is more popular, and which one? I mean, and it's still so, you know, look at all, it brought people all over the world to come check this out.
Amazing.
Like, I wouldn't do this. I got no idea. But I think that it's kind of fun in this day and age where we can look up anything we want on our phones, and we want results so quickly. Everything's got to be faster. Everything's got to be immediate, and it better be accurate, or we're going to lose our minds over it.
Yeah.
This kind of stuff still exists. There were literally ages all across the board attending this. So it's not even just a certain age group or anything. Is it silly? Is it a waste of time? Any of these things? Not to them.
No.
Not to these people. And that seems kind of cool to me, that they got into it. There's certainly a limit on this stuff. I don't know if you want to go dedicating time and money, too much time and money to something like this.
Right.
I don't know if a Nessie tattoo is a good idea. But, you know,
copyright issues, you know.
Yeah, that's
Nessie
the whole reason,
is
the whole
very
reason,
litigious.
Reason,
yeah.
I think it's kind of funny and fun that it still exists and that it's something that people are still into.
Well, and I think the difference between the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot is that it's in one location.
True. Loch Ness. Yeah. Everyone can go to that one spot. Hey, and the other thing is, hey, you get a vacation to Scotland.
Right.
Even if you don't see the Loch Ness Monster, it's a beautiful country. I mean, why not?
One of the first places I'd go if I was in Europe.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I would waste no time. I would drive through London so I could say, you know, hey, we've been to London. But you keep moving. That sounds awesome. And of course, if anybody, attended this, or if you happen to have seen the Loch Ness Monster, please feel free to call up 715-424-2600. We don't want to be inaccurately reporting anything.
If
you've got something on this, please let us know. Otherwise, we'll come back and do some celebrating with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's the morning show on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
It's time to do some celebrating. Push the volume up instead of down. It's a Monday. Welcome to the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club, everybody. One of our favorite parts of the day, we get to celebrate you and talk about our great friends over at El Cafe. Go visit them. Mm-hmm. Treat yourself. Get on over there right now. They're open. They were looking for some great people to come on in right now. Right this second.
Right now.
Go walking through the door right now.
We'll wait.
221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Wish them a great morning from all of us. Buy local, support local, everybody. Appreciate our friends over at El Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they do for us over at El Cafe is give us the opportunity to grab names every day. Mm-hmm. And so that at the beginning of every month, we can go ahead and pull a name out of the hat and announce the winner of two $20 gift certificates from our friends over at El Cafe.
Yeah, awesomeness.
And let me double check the calendar. That's right. It's the first show of the new month. Woo. So let's go ahead and pull a winner from our 31 entries from last month.
31. Yeah. Wow.
That's awesome. That is really cool. Thank you so much for everybody. Get us these birthdays and anniversaries so we can continue to celebrate with you. info@wfhr.com, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. You can direct message us on our Facebook pages as well. And, of course, call up.
You can call up. 715-424-2600.
Yeah. Give us a call, everybody. Join the conversation. Melissa, I have to make you work a little bit because I believe Seth called the last month one. So I wanted you to have a turn on this. Give me a 1 through 31.
Whew.
A lot of numbers. No pressure.
It's so many numbers. I'm going to choose a weird one. 16.
Ooh. Like that.
Very good one. And you know who really likes that is Kurt and Annette Wusso.
Woo!
Kurt and Annette Wusso are our qualifiers, our winners. They won.
They are the winners.
They are the winners.
Awesome.
Kurt and Annette, we appreciate you guys getting us this name. Mm-hmm. And Kurt and Annette, that's a great name. That really
Annette.
Sounds really good together. They celebrated their anniversary early in the month, last month. Last time we had somebody late in the month, like it was the week of.
Right before, the end of the month.
You just never know where our team is going to pull this name out of. Mm-hmm. You get your name into the running so you can get yourself some free El Cafe. Big thank you again to our friends over there at El Cafe. And a big thank you from all of us to Kurt and Annette Wusso for getting us their names.
Congratulations.
Celebrating with them. That was fun. Let's go ahead and see who may have some future winners here. As we need a one or a two. Seth, give me a one or a two.
Two.
Gives us the qualifier. So we can get right in. We want to first up wish a happy birthday to Fran Thompson.
Happy birthday, Fran.
Happy birthday, Fran.
Enjoy your day, Fran. Hope it's a good one for you.
Mm-hmm.
And our qualifier today, celebrating their 30th anniversary, Roger and Pam Denis.
Oh,
Roger and Pam.
Roger and Pam.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, guys.
30th. That's
30th.
Nice.
That's good. Nice man. Round number. Yeah.
And a great way to kick off the show.
Mm-hmm.
They kick off the month.
The
month of the birthdays and anniversaries. That's fantastic. Thank you so much to them and everybody that got us these birthdays and anniversaries. Let us take a look at our celebrity list. Rafael Nadal is 38, tennis superstar. He's beaten Roger Federer 10 of the 14 times they've played in Grand Slam matches. Their final at Wimbledon 08. Nadal won. It's considered one of the best matches of all time. It's the best match I've seen in the last 10 years at least.
Right.
On the men's side.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that the Williams sisters were a part of over the last 20 years has been must-see television as far as tennis fans. But on the men's side, Nadal and these guys have just been going back and forth for a while. And you don't want to face him on clay.
He was supreme on that. And he's been around he's only 38 years old.
Yeah.
He's been around for so long. Oh, my gosh.
It's interesting to see this with especially more than any other sport, I think, with tennis players and their early retirement age.
Mm-hmm.
At 38... That's insane that he's playing.
He's still actually playing, yeah.
At a competitive level, too, mm-hmm. That he's still in there. Like, that's 60 in football years. That's, that's incredible that he's still doing that.
Crazy.
Anderson Cooper is 57.
All right.
One of the newer faces of journalism going forward, mm-hmm. and really one of the, I think, benchmarks when it comes to journalism, not only for his work as a reporter, mm-hmm. but what he has done to kind of like expand what it is to be a journalist now.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you agree or disagree with this, this is the way a lot of it has gone. You are no longer just Walter Cronkite we see once a day at 5 o'clock delivering the news.
Right.
Anderson Cooper does the New Year's Eve bash. He hosts other things. He's out there. He's doing other stuff. We see more and more of our news people doing this. More and more, Seth, something that you and I have had to get used to is the sports reporter, and I know what team they root for now. Like that never
You never
happened.
Heard that back in the day.
Never heard on anybody on ESPN or any. It's only been in the last 10, 15 years that this has happened where now everybody's wearing their favorite
their
team
colors,
on their sleeve and everything. I don't know how I feel about any of this, to be completely honest, whether we're talking about sports journalism or, actual journalism
TV
or
news,
anything.
Yeah.
But I will say, whether you agree with him or not, he has mastered this as far as walking both categories. I don't know if it has hurt him as a journalist or not. It's not fair for me to say. I've never seen any stats on that or anything like that. But I do know that there's some people out there that don't look at him the same as a journalist.
Right.
But it doesn't seem to be slowing him down.
Right.
And still doing great reporting.
I want to give him a little bit of credit. He's from a wealthy family. A quite famous family, as a matter of fact. But when he went into journalism, he started at the bottom. I saw him in school, a little thing they had called Channel 1, which was like a daily news, 10-minute news thing that you'd watch in school, in class. And they had, it was like their own little news show and everything like that. He was one of their reporters.
Wow.
That's where he got his start.
Wow.
Was at the very bottom. But I remember seeing him there. And then later on, he was like, oh, he's on CNN. Whoa. What happened?
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, his mom is Gloria Vanderbilt.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a very famous mother. Yes.
I couldn't think of who his mother was. I knew it was somebody famous.
Yeah.
And that is saying something. That is really important context, that story you just told, because I didn't know that about him.
Exactly.
And that I would have assumed, like a lot of people out there, that he just basically, kind of got the gig, not easily, but,
it would have helped, right? But he started at the bottom.
Anybody who starts from the bottom works their way up, I have respect for. Anybody. Mm-hmm. It is far more impressive than, I don't know, somebody who just was given a bunch of money by their daddy when they turned 18.
Right.
That's nothing very accomplishable to me about that.
Right.
Especially when you blow that money five times over and you're horrible at investing and all that. That's incredible. I didn't know that's really cool. Taking a look at some other birthdays here. Denise Williams is 73. Let's Hear For The Boys. It's Going To Take A Miracle. Mm-hmm. And the theme to Family Ties.
Yes. What a great voice. Yes. Mm-hmm. Great voice.
Mm-hmm. Some people no longer with us, like Chuck Barris, born on this day in 1929, passed away in 2017. TV genius who developed the dating game, the newlywed game, the Gong Show. Thank you, Chuck Barris, for the Gong Show.
Fascinating man. They made a movie about him.
Yeah.
Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Sam Rockwell did an amazing job. Should have been nominated for awards. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he should have won, but he should have been nominated for awards for it. Chuck Barris's life was quite wild, quite interesting. And I mean, that's to Chuck Barris. It was.
Yeah.
To the rest of us, I don't know how much belief there goes into some of the things of his life or anything.
Right.
And I don't know that it matters outside of his friends and family and everything. I don't know if it matters to us that we're just fans of his.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more context to his story. Whether it's true or not is not here.
It's fascinating, though. It's absolutely fascinating.
And I, regardless of any of that stuff, you cannot take away the genius of what Chuck Barris was at that time in history. And especially nowadays when you think about it, ask somebody to create a new game show. And go.
Yeah.
You know? They
even made a movie about that game show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gong Show movie. Yeah. 1980.
God, I love the Gong Show.
That was the wackiest show.
Of my earliest dreams was to be on the Gong Show. And I didn't even care if I got like swept off or anything.
Gone,
I just wanted to be on there. Yeah. Tony Curtis, born on this day in 1925, passed away in 2010. Fantastic and legendary actor.
Yep.
Some Like It Hot. Like It Hot, man. Like, if you've never seen Tony Curtis, if you have no interest in watching a Tony Curtis movie, I will plead with you. It's not even that long of a movie. Watch Some Like It Hot. Not only will you see maybe the best performance of Marilyn Monroe's career, I think, but you get a young Jack Lemmon, and man, do you get a good Tony Curtis in that one.
Very good.
That's a great movie. I love that movie. I haven't seen it in years. Don't know if it holds up. But I love it.
For some reason, it still does.
It does. Maurice Evans, born on this day in 1901, passed away in 1989. Dr. Zaius, the orangutan in the Planet of the Apes.
I love you, Dr.
Zaius. Yes.
Sorry. Oh, that's awful.
He was also Maurice on Bewitched, Samantha's father.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
And on this day, Curtis Mayfield, born on this day in 1942, passed away in 1999, Superfly. Freddy's dead. Of course, Pusher Man. I mean, Curtis Mayfield. Oh, just a legend.
His debut solo album, he'd been in the business for a long time, but his debut solo album, Curtis, from like 1971, is a soul classic. One of the greatest records ever produced, man. It's awesome.
His last album that he did, so Curtis Mayfield, I'm not going to get this right, but was Paralyzed. I can't remember exactly how, but he wasn't able to move or anything like that anymore, but he could still sing. And I believe it was his last album that he came out with, where he had a bunch of like the brand new heavies and a bunch of other artists on with him and everything. And so a whole, like, our generation kind of got some new Curtis Mayfield and stuff. And it was pretty cool. It reminded me a lot of what has been going on with Randy Travis recently.
Oh, yeah.
In the AI song of his. Mm-hmm. So many people are just so happy to have a new Randy Travis song, especially when you thought you were never going to get one again.
Right.
Curtis Mayfield being able to continue on with his music. New World Order was the last album.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It was pretty cool.
His spine was crushed in three places after he arrived for a sound check at an outdoor concert, and rain and high winds blew down a lighting rig.
Oh,
I couldn't remember exactly how that happened.
Him
awful.
From the neck down.
Thank you, Melissa.
Yeah,
that's an important one to get right. Thank
you.
That's man. Yeah, and just still able to create a hit album.
He did
a great album after that. That was pretty cool.
Yep.
That is going to do it for our birthday and anniversary club, everybody, for one more day. But we'll be back at this tomorrow, so get us those birthdays and anniversaries. And if you happen to see Kurt and Annette Wusso today, congratulate them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
They won. Are winners for May.
Yeah, they won two gift certificates, two $20 gift certificates to El Cafe. Congratulations to them. And again, a big congratulations to our qualifiers today celebrating their 30th anniversary, Roger and Pam Denis.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Enjoy and enjoy yourself over at El Cafe. They're at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR. We'll be back in just a little bit. We're going to get into our national day of our June. Things to look forward to in June a little bit later.
All right.
But we got Egg Day coming up. We're going to talk about National Egg Day today.
Egg Day?
Egg Day.
Egg Day. Okay.
Coming up on the morning show at WFHR. Don't hatch. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a good start to your week out there. Thanks for kicking it off with us. And a little bit later, we're going to get into, before the end of the hour, we've got the four things to look forward to in June.
All right.
We'll be getting into that. Looking forward to it. For now, it's National Egg Day. Call up everybody, 715-424-2600. How do you like your eggs? Now, that doesn't mean we're making them. That does. I don't want anybody to think we are making them.
Head over to El Cafe for you.
They got lots of eggs over there. Good stuff.
They'll make them any way you want them.
Mm-hmm. Any way that you want them. If you weren't sure what to make for breakfast, it should be a no-brainer. It's National Egg Day. There you go. Have some eggs. A recent poll found our favorite way to eat them is scrambled, and it's not even close. 45% said scrambled. 24% said fried. That was the next closest. Mm. Hard-boiled is next at 8%, then poached and soft-boiled round out the top five. Only 6% of Americans say that they never eat eggs.
Wow. That's not very many.
That was the most surprising thing to me about this one. I didn't
very
expect that.
Amount, yeah.
Well, some people have egg allergies.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I would hope they're not eating eggs.
We definitely.
We would hope not.
But although we all know some people that have allergies and continue to eat the things they shouldn't eat. Yes.
Yeah. Well, the things taste good, guys.
I was trying not to call you out while calling you out.
Dairy's amazing. I live in Wisconsin.
Excuses.
Melissa, you make me think of my youngest every time because Izzy's in the same spot. She's in the same spot every time.
Like a curse.
It's a bummer.
It literally should not happen. If you are born in the state of Wisconsin, there is like
automatically be able to digest lactose.
I don't care if every family member in your history has been lactose intolerant. You're born in Wisconsin. Boom. No,
suddenly,
you're fine.
You're fine.
It's gone.
Clear yourself.
Passport.
Yeah.
It's like acne, you know?
Here are a few more stats of National Egg Day, but again, we'd love to hear how do you like your eggs, 715-424-2600, or if you have a fun way or a fun meal that you like to have eggs with, or any of the above, really. If it involves eggs, call us up. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. How do you crack an egg? On the edge of a bowl or on a flat surface? Of the people who answered, 69% said on the edge, 26% said on a flat surface, and 11% said some other way, like with a knife.
Okay. I've seen that too.
My nanny used to use my forehead. Used to use my the top of my head and my forehead.
Just holler, James, come in here. I need to crack an egg.
I love that,
Melissa. Literally that. Because so I would I loved being able to help my nan in the kitchen. That was one of my I took a lot of pride in that because I was able to shred things and I was able to reach things on high shelves. So she would call me in there and I'd come rushing in there thinking I was coming in to help. And half the time she'd like laugh at me. She spit water at me at times. she was a prankster, man.
She's like an eighth grader. Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah. Yes, basically. Yes. Yes. Picture Sophia from Golden Girls, just with even more spunk.
Yeah.
Even more somehow. Yeah. I would love to hear how you guys crack your eggs out there. 715-424-2600. Flat surface is almost twice as popular with young people. It's supposed to be better for keeping pieces of the shell out.
Yeah. You know, and I've heard from the person I go to, celebrity chef Alton Brown, for just about everything like this, he recommends flat surface so you don't get eggshells in your whatever you're doing. So,
well, you just have to not be aggressive on your edges.
Yep.
You know, just smash it in there.
You know what works best for me is actually a rounded edge. So like the edge of your cupboard. They're usually
countertop,
rounded.
Yeah.
You know, on the top of your counter. Because if you do it on the bowl edge, that's a straight up edge.
Right.
But always, for boiled eggs, always do those on a flat surface.
I think people are getting way bent out of shape on this. I just smash the egg, throw it in there. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
It's some shell. It's not so bad for it. No.
I wonder his cakes are crunchy.
I've never done that.
That's why James doesn't bake.
No, yes, yeah. That's the reason number 435 of why I don't, yeah.
There is a list somewhere.
White eggs or brown eggs? 67% usually buy white, 20% said brown, and 13% said it varies, or they don't buy eggs.
Or it depends on what's available. Sometimes I usually buy brown eggs, but sometimes I don't. They don't have them in the store.
Now it says here in the article, and I don't know this. I'm Ron Burgundying this. I'm reading this as it is. There's no real difference between white and brown. White ones generally come from hens with white feathers, and brown eggs from brown feathers.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true? Right. I think that's about right.
Yeah. I just learned something today. I didn't know that. Yeah. That's really cool, actually.
So yeah, if we get
wild and interesting,
we get a lot of our eggs from a friend who raises chickens and gets so many eggs they need to give them away. And we get all colors of eggs. You can get, you get brown, you get white, you get kind of green, you know, green. a little light green. Yeah, yeah. It's actually kind of cool, yeah.
I've seen brown eggs, but I've never heard this before. And I swear to God, if somebody told me this, like just randomly, hey, do you know the white eggs? No way I'd believe them. If my father told me this, I would be, Dad, you're lying to me. Jimmy, I'm serious. Like, no, no way that's true.
Up there with, and you need to change your blinker fluid on your car every year, too.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, Dad. Sure. You got a bridge in San Francisco to sell me, huh?
And anyone for a snipe hunt? Anyone?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Chocolate milk comes from brown cows.
Yep, like, that's right. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
Bam, bam. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? 10,000 Americans were polled. 44% said chicken, 32% said egg, 24% still can't decide.
That one's fair.
That was legit. Yeah. I can get the I don't know on that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's probably what I would choose.
Now, scientifically, I believe that they did come up with an answer for this, that it was the chicken. Or, I'm sorry, the egg that came first. It was the egg that came first that they were saying. But then who hatched the egg and blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, right. And on it goes.
Yeah. I love questions like that, actually.
It's great.
I think that's fun. The Happy Egg Company is running a contest today where you can win free eggs for a year. Draw a smiley face on an egg, post a photo or video of it being pampered in some way, and tag them on Instagram.
That's cute.
That's not bad.
I really like that.
It's a fun idea. A tip of the hat to the Happy Egg Company. Plus, that's a really good one.
What a name. Yeah. The Happy Egg Company? That's awesome.
That is a great name for that company.
And that you could have a lot of fun with that with your kids, I think.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a fun contest for kids because they're so imaginative.
I wonder if there are kids out there who had to do this for school, you know, where you had to carry the egg around and everything. I wonder if that would count. I wonder if that would be a way of doing it.
I would dye my egg orange and turn it into a jack-o'-lantern egg. I think that would be cool.
I like that. Nice.
With like a black crayon or something.
Oh,
yeah.
That's good. I don't eat that many eggs, but if I were to be given free eggs for a year, I would definitely eat more eggs. Would you guys? Would that make you eat more eggs?
Mm-hmm.
I eat a lot of eggs already.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm big on eggs.
My fridge.
I enjoy making eggs, actually. That's one of the things I really like, the different, you know, frying or scrambling or whatever. I just enjoy doing that. That's just for whatever reason. It's fun.
Do you?
Yeah, learning how to poach eggs is a fun thing.
Yeah.
I haven't been brave enough to do that yet.
Just add a little bit of white vinegar to your water.
Oh.
That keeps the egg white together.
Nice.
Wow, is that good? Oh, I'm trying that.
Wow.
I wasn't even hungry for eggs.
My grandma made poached eggs for my grandpa every single morning.
Really?
Okay. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And my other grandma can crack an egg, could crack an egg with one hand.
Oh, that's my mom does
that's impressive.
That, my mom does that like it's nothing.
I can't do that.
Yeah, that's impressive.
And not get shells in.
Yeah, I know.
That's the impressive part.
Can't do it. I've tried it.
I like eggs, but I don't get a chance to eat them very often, and usually because I like eggs with other things. I don't eat eggs alone very often, even with some toast. You know,
Exactly.
That's not enough.
That counts. That counts, certainly. But I'm thinking of when I enjoy eggs is in one of those sandwiches we make at home.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and there's plenty of great businesses out there that have great sandwiches and stuff, morning, you know, sandwiches and everything. But making your own and just like this, like the bread can barely be held together and stuff. That's how my dad did. Those are fun sandwiches.
Every Saturday when I was growing up, my dad would make those. Single Saturday.
Nice.
Yep.
Man, that's nice.
Yeah. I like an egg on ramen.
Ooh. Yeah, you're not alone there. My sister. Mm-hmm. She's the first one I saw do that.
Actually, in actual ramen, you know, go to like a nice Japanese restaurant that does ramen. There's always an egg involved. There's always egg with ramen.
Yep. Interesting. Mm-hmm. We will take a time out. We'll check in with our partners. We'll come back. We're talking about things to look forward to in June on The Morning Show with Seth and Melissa and James. I almost forgot my name.
and Jimmy. It's Jimmy.
WFHR.
Night Rider.
JJ.
Locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. I know what it is. Ain't nobody crying. Ain't nobody worried. Ain't no smiling faces. I know a place like that. It's the morning show. Welcome back to it, everybody. We got another hour of this to do. We're going to take you to the top of the hour, and of course, we'll have right until the 9 o'clock. Take you up to 10 o'clock with the show. Great things coming up in that 9 o'clock hour. It will kick off with the Kitchens Open. Join us every Monday in the 9 o'clock hour for the Kitchens Open. Melissa does an amazing show with that segment. We looking forward to today. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We're talking about grilling.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Grilling.
James, you're not allowed to say it that way.
Okay. It's probably good.
It's probably going to destroy his voice if he tried to do the whole thing like that.
Becoming a Doc Rivers impression. We will also be joined by Tom Heiser after that with our monthly veterans update. Tom will be joining us after the Kitchens Open. Looking forward to it. Have some entertainment news for you in there I want to get into, including some local stuff we want to talk about, including some WFHR stuff we want to talk about.
Ooh, yeah.
All that coming up for you. I did want to, once again, if you're curious, I had a listener text in wondering that email address again for the Happy Egg Company. Again, they're doing a contest today. If you can win free eggs for a year, draw a smiley face on an egg, post a photo or a video of it, you pampering the egg, and tag them on Instagram, and you can win free eggs for a year.
There you go.
That website, happyegg.com, happyegg.com. Let's go ahead and look into four things to look forward to in June.
All right.
One of our trends, our traditional things we do around here at the beginning of every month, kind of go over the month, things to look forward to on your small screen, on your big screen, sports-wise, and the holidays. In sports, the NBA Finals start next Thursday on June 6th. Then the Stanley Cup Finals start on the 8th.
Oh.
It's so exciting. I'm jacked about it this year. We're actually going to be talking about this on Playmakers today. Be sure to join us from 3 to 4 for that, because we got some fun stuff to talk about with that.
All right.
In tennis, the French Open runs through June 9th, and golf's 124th U.S. Open is June 13th through the 16th.
Nice.
It's got some fun sports to enjoy before we get into kind of some of the dead parts of the sports calendar in July and some of that.
Excuse me. No, I'm just kidding. We're this baseball. Come on.
The All-Star the break.
Sport where...
I'm just thinking of the All-Star break, because that is considered the most dead time of year when that happens, because they're not playing games every day and there's no other sports.
Right, exactly.
But I wanted to mention this on Playmakers today. We are going to be getting into Randy Paul will be with us, and we're going to talk some rafters and talk to some of the rafters. Ooh. I believe we have the announcers joining us today on the show.
Oh, nice.
Our new rafter announcers. That's going to be fun. But I want to get into a way to pull your average fan into these events, into these finals for the NBA and for the Stanley Cup. It's got some four exciting teams, and it's going to be pretty exciting, I think. New on your small screen, Star Wars The Acolyte premieres on Disney Plus on June 4th. Part 2 of Bridgerton Season 3 drops on Netflix on June 13th.
All right.
Season 2 of House of the Dragon hits HBO on the 16th. Season 3 of The Bear is back on FX on Hulu June 27th. And the Tony Awards will also air on CBS and Paramount Plus on the 16th.
Ooh.
I can't believe they didn't include this. The TV show on Amazon Prime, The Boys, comes back this month, too. I'm very excited about that.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
That is a wild show. I love that show. In theaters, Bad Boys Ride or Die is out on the 5th. Inside Out 2 will be released on the 14th. The dark comedy Kinds of Kindness arrives on the 21st. That's from the director of The Good Place, or I'm not The Good Place. Poor Things.
Okay. Gotcha.
That was really huge last year. And did an amazing job. And that guy's a really interesting director. The things that he is doing is really cool. The horror movie A Quiet Place Day One hits theaters on the 27th. And let's see, and that'll be it for your big releases. Movies wise, on your big screen.
Kind of a quiet June.
You're going to see this. The strikes affected this to a degree.
It's true.
But also, there are a lot of scared people in the game right now, in entertainment, that are definitely afraid of losing a dollar. And the industry will never survive that way.
Nope.
You need to take chances.
Yeah.
You need to be able to push boundaries. You also need to stop making 3-hour movies. If you are a director and you cannot tell your story in two hours, make two
movies.
At
the most, yeah.
Make two movies.
Yeah.
Or don't make it. Or move on.
Make it a TV show. Who knows? Yeah, whatever.
And please call in 424-2600 and tell me the last time you wanted to go and spend 3 hours in a movie theater without being able to get up and go to the bathroom unless you wanted to miss something. That was probably an integral part of the storytelling because it's a 3-hour movie and they didn't want to leave anything out, so every bit is important. It doesn't make any sense. It's bad filmmaking. And I will say that to Martin Scorsese's face. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest director in the world I would work with if I could right now. I would do anything that man asked me to in a movie, pretty much. Come on, man. I mean, you really want people to go back to the theaters, give them a reason to go back to the theaters. Mm-hmm. And don't make it so you got to take a mortgage out to take you and your kids to go see a movie. This isn't rocket science. Like, you're killing the industry. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it to themselves.
Oh, absolutely.
This isn't because the masses just decided, you know what, we're boycotting going to movies. No. The two things I just mentioned are the two biggest factors.
Mm-hmm.
Make them better.
Yep.
And make them shorter.
Or make two.
Yeah. And finally, the holidays. The big ones are Father's Day on the 16th and Juneteenth on the 19th.
Okay.
Also, it's Pride Month. Celebrate That's Pride right. Month, everybody. Yeah. We here at Civic Media will be. We've got a parade coming up that we are going to be a part of.
Right, yeah.
We have the opportunity if we want to.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I know we're going to have some people down there representing not only our station, but representing Civic Media and that. It's going to be cool. The 19th is National Martini Day, dry or stirred. And
shaken
National
or stirred.
Shaken or stirred is the way it goes. Yes. As somebody who has seen every single scene of a James Bond movie, I have no right to get that wrong.
Oh.
And National Selfie Day is June 21st. So big month. Big month. Yeah, I know. How about National Selfie Day? Nobody takes a selfie. How about
no
that?
No selfie day.
Yeah,
there you go.
That'd be a good
anti-holiday.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that one. Yeah. I would say that it's an exciting June, but if you notice, other than the sports calendar that just has to go on, of course, the big things that are coming out that people have put a lot of money and time into are on the small screen. On the big screen, people are kind of hesitant and a little but right now, it used to be in the summer, you would never premiere a TV show in the summer or have a new season premiere in the summer.
Never.
You would never do that back in the day. Now, it's partially because they just don't worry about it as much because of streaming and you could watch it at any time and all that. But it's also, these shows have done well in these time slots. Like, The Bear is a really good example. I believe that it usually premieres in the beginning of summer around that time. And that's one of the most popular shows on Hulu.
Absolutely.
The show's very popular. Mm-hmm. Things like that. The Bridgerton thing. If that's not, I don't know a darn thing about Bridgerton other than it's huge.
People like it, yeah.
Yeah, and that that in particular is a good example because that's one of the few things Netflix has right now that is actually bringing people to Netflix. Yeah. They're begging Stranger Things to finish up filming because they've been begging to get that one out there. The other interesting thing about this list to me is going back to the movies for a second. Everything I just said about making shorter films and all that is actually pretty evident this month. With the Bad Boys Ride or Die movie.
Mm.
They put that together like in a week. Like they filmed it. They wrote, filmed, produced all of those things like in a really quick amount of time. Mm. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Bad Boys Ride or Die is not going to be nominated for Best Picture. But it doesn't have to be.
No.
Not every movie has to be an award winner. Not every movie has to be. It's a fun action movie.
There you go.
It needs to be entertaining.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's all that matters. Like, mm-hmm. if you're doing those things, I feel like you're doing something right. It's the only way to get people back to the theaters. And I also think that it's time to stop putting so much essence on box office numbers. It's one of the most ridiculous things. It's like in 2024, giving everything about your everything to ratings. Like, good luck with that, because ratings tell us very little of the story anymore.
It's true.
They look really good at the end of the year when you're talking to your board members, if you're at ABC or CBS or something like that. But as far as like what they actually mean of how many eyeballs are watching this, mm-hmm. it doesn't even cover half the bases anymore. Because if something is streaming, then you have those numbers, and you have these numbers, and these numbers, and all this. And if you're an advertiser right now, you're not looking at that. You're not mm-hmm. looking at necessarily the ratings or the box office numbers or anything. You are looking at it if you want to make your money back. That mm-hmm. is important. That is always the case. That has been the case since the very first film that was made.
Right.
The every producer's looking to get their money back here. But outside of that, it doesn't mean what it used to. The idea of a movie being a bomb doesn't mean what it used to. I want to recommend to anybody out there, if you're especially interested in documentaries, watch the Jim Henson documentary this weekend, mm-hmm. Idea Man. Mm-hmm. It is the top five greatest documentaries I've ever seen.
Wow.
It was incredible. I had one real problem with it. Other than that, it was very, very, very well done. And one of the things that stood out to me about it was that the ability to, you know... okay, so you say that ratings matter. You say this matters. Okay, this will never work. All right. Then I'll introduce you to The Muppet Show, which was never supposed to work. Jim Henson went to literally every single studio, not just in America, but around to get that thing. And nobody liked it. Nobody thought it would work.
Everyone turned it down, yeah.
He goes and films it with himself and his team, thanks to a great producer over in London. And they filmed 24 episodes. That to the end of time, to the last TV set that has ever played The Muppet Show will be on. Like, that show is eternal. That show is never going anywhere. As long as there are kids, that show will exist, let alone adults who grew up on it and everything. I mean, the idea of what works and what doesn't work is a matter of opinion.
Yeah. And you never know. You never know what's going to happen.
Got to take shots.
You got to do it.
You got to let creatives be creative. We're actually going to wrap up our show talking a little bit about that with one of our local good stories of the day that takes place in Milwaukee. That's coming up a little later, everybody.
Yeah.
Stick around for The Kitchen's Open and our monthly Veterans Update with Tom Heiser. All that coming up right here on...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 13.